Revelation 18. The only way that we will ever, we're going to start next week, next weekend, next Saturday, and we've got to decide what time, but we're going to do it in here to do, so hopefully, the death seats. Hopefully all of you have gotten this. You've started, you've all heard at least one. We did Harry's death seat the other night, so you have some basis for what it is. But it's the areas where you find, where you've, well, you have to read them, ma'am. I'm not going to go over all of it again. But the only way you're going to find out that you have a debt is to understand that from the perspective of God, the only place of faith to be is in the place of abandonment of self. Jesus said over and over many times, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for what you shall eat. Take no thought for the basics of life, much less anything else. You've got to understand that we not only live in deception, we have been taught deception from the first day of our life. That God has a purpose, and the purpose is that we would return to that simplicity as a small child, where we'd continually empty ourselves and live in that moment of dependence. I don't remember if we studied in here or in stealth, but Isaiah 14 is part of the readings, and it's the five I wills of Satan. And it describes what mankind considers a good thing. To be responsible, to take plans for your life, to be, you know, all of the I wills. To do good, all whatever those I wills are the basis of all debt. Unless you can see that it's an admirable or desirable point to be in the place where you have abandoned yourself and take no thought of or about you or yours, then the idea of being what we've taught about debt will make no sense. You'll start looking for exceptions in the scriptures. You'll start looking for things to do because you like to be as God, defining for yourself what you should and shouldn't do. So the only way I know to convince you from the spirit and from a scriptural standpoint that you've been in deception is to see what the word says of it. Now you can say, you can sit here in agreement by your silence, yeah, I understand what debt is. And 5 minutes later, boom, you're gone into the national debt again. You've bought into the lie. You got an idea of the way things should be. Instantly, you're back in. The problem with this debt that you're in is that you can't deal with it one at a time. You can identify it one at a time, but the debt is sneaky. The debt says it's either all paid or it's all not paid. You can't go say, well, I'm going to keep this good debt, i.e., I've got an idea, I've got a plan for my life. I've got a thing that I think is important to do. The moment you keep that, then you get all the rest of it comes back on you. So when you pray to forgive us our debts, you're not being sincere. Or you're going to argue with me and say, well, my plans aren't my debts. Well, what are they then? The thing that's led you about by your nose your entire life. Right? You understand that you can't keep something? Well, I'll just keep the good part. I'll just keep the debt that I think is good. And all the debt, all of the other ideas and things that I have, I'll throw away. But the good, pretty soon you'll find out you got it all back again. Harry's been trying to keep the good and throw away the bad for years. It doesn't work. There's no such thing as good debt. Go to 17, chapter 17, verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. That just describes this beast that we've talked about so often. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. In other words, the ten kings are within you, and within you, and within they're the ten sorceries of Egypt. And they are one mind. They give power unto the beast. The beast is you, not some computer in Belgium or wherever the newest current idiotic theology is now. You are the beast, and you think you're unique. But the beast, the ten kings, give the same mind to everybody in the face of the earth. That's why it's like duck soup. You think I can read your mind? No, I can't read your mind. I know my mind. Difference is, I don't give any breath to my mind. That's stupid. Okay, so we got, these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. You're the beast that these ten sorceries are giving power to. You understand this? You've been deceived your whole life. You thought, my God, here I am. I'm a Mike. And I'm alive. And I'm going to do great things. Look at this wondrous possibility. But you don't understand. You're exactly the same. You might as well say I'm a Harry or a Sherry. It doesn't matter. You're all the same. We're all one mind. We're all the beast, the instead of, the Antichrist. These shall make war with the Lamb. Do you understand? That's all you've done your whole life. You've made war with the Lamb because you have, instead of abandoning yourself and letting that life which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, who will it and perform it if you're out of the way, you have made war by all your little stick. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do this. I'll do this tomorrow. I have to have it all ready. Now listen carefully. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The whore is sitting in the waters. The people are always the waters. The still water in the scripture is always the symbol of the human race, i.e. judgment. It's only the running waters that don't have time to take hold of anything that are symbol of the Holy Spirit, but still waters are always symbolic of the human race and judgment. And that's where the horse sitteth, on top of the human race. Oh, no, not me. I'm individual. I haven't been deceived. I've got my problems and my ambitions and my ideas, and they're precious to God. Right. You little fucking whore. If it benefits you to do good, you will do good. If it benefits you to do evil, you will do evil. Whatever you do has to benefit yourself. There's no other place. There's no other way. You are the God of your temple. You know, give me 5 minutes alone with any one of you, and I'll make you forget God. God won't even exist. Why? Because I know you well enough to push your buttons. And when I push your buttons, God is gone. Well, if he's gone, he wasn't ever there. Can you see how total, how complete, how awesome the deception is that he has deceived the whole world? Now, unless you know this, you'll never understand debt. You'll just try to find good debt. Try to find a bank to buy. Good plan. Trying to do good for your kids. God's work. Trying to do God's work. Right. No, you're not. Give me a man that's trying to do God's work, and I'll show you an egotist. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. You understand what happens once everything fails? She's been up to telling you the lies. And she'll make her desolate and naked, and she'll eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts, in the hearts of these 10 kings, the 10 horns, to fulfill his will, even though it looks like they're doing exactly the opposite. The 10 sorceries of Egypt, the 10 kings on the 7 heads within you, your own Sanhedrin, is ultimate evil. But the 7 heads, but God is using it, if you will hear. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. The kingdom has to be given unto the beast for a time, but it's now timed. It's the year of Jubilee. It's time to take it back. It's time to give it back to its rightful owner, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, only this is your interpretation. No. We'll see. Can you stand? The whole world lieth in deception until now? The metaphor in Abraham was, remember that the people of God had to be in bondage for 430 years until a sin of the Amorites was filled? Well, that's this. Until you've seen the vanity and the futility of all of your sorceries, of all of your ideas, of all of your plans, and the word of God can be fulfilled. That's why the preacher, the only man that's ever named a preacher in the scripture, Solomon, said, vanity of vanities, futility of futilities, all is futile. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All. Who are the kings of the earth? You. You are the king of the earth, of your earthen vessel. And the whore reigneth over all the kings of the earth. Can you understand that maybe it's time to give the land back to its rightful owner? You fulfilled it. You've seen this. You've seen the futility of all of these likes and dislikes and ideas and ambitions and plans. If you hadn't seen the futility of it, you certainly wouldn't be here. You'd be a damn fool to come and listen to me. Right, Glenn? You're a damn fool to come and listen to me anyway. Can you maybe believe that you lived in deception? Can you maybe believe that the true you was never separated from God? That you've always been held in his arms? That you've been chosen in him from before the beginning of the universe? that everything that has happened to you has happened exactly as it should, in order for you to reach the point where you see the scripture that now the works of God are fulfilled, i.e. the vanity of the flesh, now you can give it back to him. Now, for the first time in your life, you can be debt-free. See, you weren't debt-free when you were born.
I read over the memo, and I was thinking, my God, I'm just one big debt. I mean, I'm indebted to my breath. How, and then, you know, thinking, you know, how would it even, I couldn't fathom it be possible to not be debt. But not paying attention, you know, but I realized that it is possible, you know?
And it's possible. There's a part in you that vibrates when you hear the possibility of being totally and completely free. When you never again have to be in this idiotic position of thinking that a condition that you're in should be different than it is. Where you hear and see God at every moment. Okay, now we can break those bonds. So then don't give it back. Now listen.
You said something that stopped. You said you weren't free from debt when you were born. You're born in debt.
Of course. You've got the debt of the curse.
Generational.
You got the generation curse. You got the racial curse. You've got all of the debt of your forefathers and your... Now you got the national debt. What is it now? $20,000 the moment you're born that you owe? But that's minuscule compared to the debt that you owe, you know, to the environment in which you were born in, the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. Can you hear maybe? But again, you can't be free of the debt until you know you're in debt. Does anybody know they're in debt? Anybody think they're free? Come on, I feel like arguing with somebody.
I don't see how seeing that I'm in debt, sets me free.
Well, it doesn't. That's just the first step.
Oh. Well, you just said that once you see you're in debt, then, yeah. Then,
no, that's the first step. But it's inexorable. Once you see you're in debt, in the path that we're on, it's as more sure than the sun's going to rise that you'll see you're out of debt. For he will will it and perform it in you.
Instead of seeing you haven't been paying on it.
Yeah. And after those things, I saw another angel. We've seen a lot of angels here, and we're studying. After those things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened, or radiant, with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And he's saying 2,000 years ago that Babylon has fallen. Cause and effect is Babylon. Do you understand? If you believe if I do this, this will happen at any level in here, then you believe in Babylon. And you're praying to the god Bel, who's the chief god of Babylon. Cause and effect. He is the pure enemy of grace and mercy. But 2,000 years ago, Babylon fell. But you didn't know it. How much, just think of how much of your life you've spent worshiping in Babylon. Gee, If I do this, then this will happen. Do you understand all mind talk is worship in Babylon? Because by definition, all of your mind talk, the thinking it over, I'm just considering it, all mind talk by definition is cause and effect. The mind can do nothing but pray in Babylon. You understand me? Oh, but I'm thinking about good stuff. Oh, I'm not really thinking. My mind is just blank.
Well, it's like,
right.
And what you're talking about is what we would call common sense.
Common sense.
You know what I mean? To not be able to have any foresight or any kind of vision at all as to
common sense.
Normal things like total retard.
Common sense.
I just want to throw that out.
Common sense.
Throw that out.
Okay.
That which is highly esteemed.
That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God.
Ben Franklin.
Well, do you understand how far common sense has gotten you?
Tom Paine, who wrote common sense?
Well, it gets me to work in the morning.
No, it doesn't.
Common sense will get you out of the
rain. Sure, you know, have enough gas and, you know, common sense to get out of the rain. Yeah. You come in handy every once in a while. Not very many times, though.
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations, all people, everyone has drunk of the wine. Now the wine, if you believe Isaiah 28, is the wine of Ephraim, which is the wine of self-seeking. Do you understand that by definition, all worship of Babylon, in Babylon, is self-seeking? What benefits self? The kingdom of self. If I do this, then this will happen. Whoopee.
I mean, that's been, you know, my motivation for prayer all these years.
No.
Pray and then that will change.
No. I didn't know that.
But we've already said, reading Revelation 18, that even that is,
it'll fail if you're honest. All God wants from you is your honesty. Do you understand me? All God wants from you is your honesty.
I just saw why that's safe for God to want that.
Yeah.
Because He knows you're not going to succeed. You can't.
So when you see it fail, either you agree it
fails. Yeah, you speak it. And you come up with another plan, and you see that pretty soon.
You run through all the plans and you start.
See, that's why the earth. That's why the first man. But that's why the early man had to live to be almost 1,000 years old.
And then drink a lot of sour milk.
Because the early man. Well, I don't want to get into that. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Because from God's standpoint, going anywhere else in your mind or taking action other than to the power of God for anything is fornication. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, or the power. Now, the enticement of her delicacies. Now, you understand? Try to be a deal maker or a merchant without cause and effect. Try to be an accountant without cause and effect. Try to be in the oil business without cause and effect.
Journalism.
Try to be in journalism. Try to be in anything without cause and effect. If you're in it, then you see it isn't cause and effect. Therefore, you're not in it. You're doing something else. If you are a believer, then whatever your hand finds to do is holy service in the temple. It's not the thing that you're doing. That's the mystery of life. That's why nothing is more important than anything else. And therefore, then once you live in that domain, then you're never dependent on cause and effect for your sustenance. How can you tell whether you're in that domain or not? One way, because you care about the outcome. If you care what happens, then that's the key that you're still living in the whore's domain. Oh no, I'm just trying to do it good for God. Right.
If there's nothing more important than anything else, then it doesn't matter right. whether it succeeds,
you're paid
fails,
to care about
late.
What happens.
Well, then you'll do whatever your boss is. Your boss, then you see your boss as God himself. That's your discipline for the moment. And the moment you can hear under that discipline, God will free you from it. You got to hear under it for more than like 1 second, Crystal.
Well, I think I've been 5 years already.
How long after that have you been in obedience?
Oh, two.
Two what?
2 nanoseconds.
2 nanoseconds?
Let me get back to your bar. Right?
Well, you've got somebody who's going to contend with you over here.
She's
dallying on the edge of contention.
You don't have 5 years of experience. You've got...
I've been there 5 years in June.
I know, but it's not 5 years of obedience.
How do you know?
Oh, I know you. Oh, that's really a threat.
I'm still there. Yeah, that counts for something.
What do you mean you have to stay under?
You hear that that moment is no different than any other moment, no matter what that moment looks like. And you don't try to get out of it or to change that moment. You rest in it as from the hand of God, whatever that moment looks like.
Because it's not going to get any better.
Whether it's a gun in your mouth or whether it's all the same. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, and this is where we got here. This is what we're studying tonight. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her work. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived delicately, so much torment and sorrow give to her. For she has said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously or delicately with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Now, the only way you come out of her is that you are no more indebted to her. You come out of her by understanding the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts. And we see that the debt is forgiven and we're free from Babylon. You understand?
I just got a chill because a thought occurred to me. How can you be indebted to a whore? There's only one way to be indebted to a whore. Enjoy her
words.
I got this thing like, you know, when I said come out of her, it was like she had consumed us and that we had to, you know, like be sour in her stomach to be encouraged to take it out.
Well, the way you get out of her, though, is by being dead. Dead free. All right, let me read this. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels, most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke and burning of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Now hear the last portion very carefully. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after those things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. I beg of you, get out of Babylon. There's only one way you get out of her, and that's by becoming debt-free. And the only way you can be debt-free is by seeing he has paid the price. But you have to know that anything except the moment of the total abandonment of yourself is debt. If you haven't received the debt memo, get one quickly.